Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Rudolph, Sister Rochelle?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here, sis.
Yes, ma'am. We're here. Good evening. Good evening to the family.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Queen?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. Thank you, sir, for asking. And yourself, Brother Rudolph.
To Allah. I am alive, striving hard to make my word my bond.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Sister Lachelle, how are you?
I am fine by Allah's grace, and I am grateful to have another opportunity to serve His people because I know who they are and whose they are and how important they are to be brought to the Lamb of God. So I'm always excited to have an opportunity to proclaim the greatness of the one true God and his great dominion and the great commission of those of us who want to serve.
And with that being said, we can say amen, take up collection, and go home.
And this is really a great show, and I'm looking forward. There's going to be a lot of testimonies tonight, a lot of people that will come to the witness stand to bear witness to the disasters in their lives and how, you know, they were able to be brought to the other side by a true and living God. So I'm listening. I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, from everyone who wants to call in and share today and from what we have to share with those who are listening. So this is going to be a powerful show. I know it.
Well, with that being said, let us establish the protocol and beginning all things in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the most merciful God. We thank him for intervening in the affairs of men and women and for giving us a chance to do the things that we do by raising one up from among us that he may be able to teach, train, and guide us into the way that we should go that we have forgotten about because we have been taking off course. So in the name of the great God, in the name of his risen Christ, and in the name of their divine reminder on the planet today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we greet the family in the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-Salaamu Alaikum. We greet the well-wishers, the guests, the visitors in the greeting words of peace be unto you. And in whatever language you speak, we greet you in that language so you can understand what we're saying to you and that our desire is peace for you, peace from us, so you know that nothing that we say or do is intended, designed, or otherwise create friction, strife, or to aggress upon you. And if it becomes that way or you take it that way, stop, take a breath, and ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Because that's not the way we intend it. So again, in those three great names, we greet you to tonight's we welcome you to tonight's program. And as Sister Lachelle said, this is going to be a different structure and format from weeks past, because we really, really want participation from you, the listening audience, now, because we want you to be able to tell your story, to tell how you were able to navigate through a disastrous situation and how that can help someone else when they get ready to go through theirs. If you're in the 718, the 516, the 212, the 347, the 646, the 973, the 516, the 914, the 212, let's see what else, the 810, the 202, the 404, the 310, the 510, the 803, the 710, the 770, the 707, the 324, I'll stop there. If you're in any of those area codes, then we challenge you because we want to show the rest of the country, you know, why the East Coast is where it is and why everybody is looking to the East, you know. So we want to challenge you for that. Sister Lachelle?
Oh, my goodness, you are so messy. The only thing Detroit is where it's at. All I know is the God came to the 313. Michigan number one, I asked the Midwest, as the Wild Wild West that is quickly becoming the well-tamed West. So please call me to our wonderful show. Don't let the East Coast tear it up like they normally do. Happy to be your supporters, boy. They will come. They will call in, so I do give you credit for that. Loyalty does reign supreme over there in New York. I give you that. But I'm going to see what I can do today with the 313, the 517, the 810, the 248, the 734, the 586. Please call in from the 248. We're waiting to hear from you. We're looking forward to serving you, and we would love to have you call in on our wonderful show from the 616, the 517, and we're looking forward to having you on the call.
Wow, I think you added some more area codes in from last week. Now, to all of the places whose numbers we did not call, it's no slight on you. It's no disrespect to you. It's just we don't know that you're out there because we've never heard from you. So, light it up. Let's go. Press the number one on your phone. That's how you raise your hand in this classroom and speak your mind. Represent. Give a shout out to where you're from, so that we know that you're alive and well. Before we even get started, we have to give thanks and honor and bow to the Queen, because we are in the Queendom. Yes, the Queendom is allowing us to shout from the mountaintops. It is because of the Queendom that we can shout from the rafters and we can get this message out to every town and hamlet out there to let you know that there's life in them Czar Hills. So, Queen, we thank you.
Yes, sir. The honor is mine, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, let's quickly go to this day in history, just so you'll know what has happened on this day in history. Today is May 6th. In 1937, the German airship Hindenburg, the largest ever built, burst into flames and collapsed to the ground while attempting to moor at Lakehurst, New Jersey. As the airship burst into flames, it crashed 200 feet to the ground, and the hull of the airship incinerated within seconds as the hydrogen core ignited. That was this day in history. But that's not it. Disasters are concerned. In 1976, in Milano, Italy, a powerful earthquake measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale strikes the small town of Milano in northeast Italy, leaving at least 60 people dead and many more under the rubble. And I know you would think, well, that's about it. There's nothing else that could have possibly happened, right? Well, in 2001, okay, a bomb exploded at a North London postal sorting office believed to be a part of a campaign of terror by the real IRA. Okay, and the last thing that we shall talk about where disasters are concerned, in the United States in 2009, on May 6, 2009, Maine allows gay marriage. The United States of Maine became the fifth state to allow gay marriage. The bill allowing gay marriage was passed in the state's legislature and then signed by Governor John Balducci. Well, that's all we're going to say in history where disasters are concerned. Now we will go to, well, no, we're not going to go to the phones just yet. I apologize. Sister Lachelle, I didn't give you a chance to open up and give your greetings, and I apologize for that. Why don't you take this opportunity now and greet our public, my lovely co-host, Sister Lachelle Muhammad.
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. In the most holy name of Allah, God, I would like to greet the family and friends, the believers, those who tune in all the time and those who just tuned in today to our wonderful show, Disaster Preparedness, where we love to come to you every week with something that will help you when your turn comes to be the one on the news. So we watch the news all the time, and we say, there but for the grace of God go I. That could be my car falling into the sinkhole. One morning I woke up and I saw that on the news in Baltimore, where my dear sister lives in Baltimore. So immediately I called her, and when she didn't answer, I said, oh, that's not her car. You know, that I'm looking at on the news. You know, you just never know when the time you look at the news and it's someone you know, or it's the area where your family is, or it's a friend of yours. Working in the trauma units at one of the Trauma One hospitals in the city, you know, as a chaplain, I never know when they call me down for a trauma what I'm going to walk in and see. But what I always know that's right around the corner is a family that's praying for someone, that's waiting for me to come and give them a word that's going to make them be able to accept whatever the outcome is, you know, in the very next room. So we never know when it's going to be our turn to be the grieving person. We never know when it's going to be our turn to be the challenged person. But what we all do know is that there is a God that's a master of all circumstances. And if we take one step towards him, he definitely will come running towards us. But the best way to take a step is a prepared step. So we want to give you information today that when your turn comes, you can say, wait a minute, I heard about this on that show. You might be driving right now and just listening to us almost like background noise. And that's okay, because we're still getting into that subconscious. It still is like osmosis. It's just drifting in on the waters of the eardrum as you hear it. And something that might get said on one of these shows will be the thing that comes right to your mind when you need it. And you have to say, all praises due to Allah for Sister Lachelle, Brother Rudolph, Sister Queen Aziza, for that show that I listened to in the background noise while I was frying fish to cook dinner for my family. So I hope that when you listen to the show, you're always listening for that little nugget, that little thing that's going to be what you need when your turn comes. You might be saying, why does she keep saying when? I wish she would say if. I wish she would say, you know, she pray it doesn't happen. And of course I do pray. And I wish it was if. But, you know, Sister and Minister Ava Muhammad said the only thing worse than a dope thing is a hope thing. So if you're sitting around hoping that nothing ever happens to you, you can let that go. It's going to be your turn. Something's going to happen. That's part of life. But be prepared, because proper preparedness ensures proper performance. So just listen. Listen for that nugget. You know, God doesn't waste time. So the fact that you're listening to the show means it's going to be something that's going to help you in time. So thank you for allowing us to come to your ear, and I promise you that we will make sure that everything that you get today is good for you, that's helpful to you. And Sister Queen does a great job of sifting of what she allows to come even to us. So I'm grateful for my sister, and I definitely thank you every day for my co-host. So just ride with us, family, and we promise to take you somewhere you never thought.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle, I just wanted to tell you we're having an issue with the studio, but they said give them a few minutes, it's going to be resolved. So people can hear you, but they said to hold off on music and audio right now from the outside, but they can still hear you. They will send me a message when the issue is resolved. I do apologize.
Okay, thank you. No problem. Again, this is disaster preparedness. We are prepared for disaster.
Okay, that's
it would be a shame if something happened on our show and we freak out and act all other than ourselves. All right, that's not a problem. Let me read two things really quickly to kind of set the tone for where we're coming from, where we always come from with this show, but especially tonight again, so you know where our trend of thought is coming from and where our criterion for what we're speaking from is from. Now, the first thing we're going to read comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're going to go specifically to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is one of the Beatitudes. And I always loved that, the Beatitudes, because as I was growing up in a Southern Baptist home, you know, with a preacher at the head of the house and an evangelist bringing up the rear, you know, it's a constant spiritual household and a constant just education, things that they always taught us early on was the value of studying things, not taking things at face value. Well, when we look at that, the Beatitudes, I just broke it down. What is that talking about? It's talking about a Beatitude. Okay, it's not talking about a thought. It's not talking about a hypothetical situation. It's not talking about a supposition. It's talking about a real thing, a Beatitude. Well, we know that in the beginning, the Creator said, be, and it was. So there's power in the word, and especially when that word is coming from a place that it has been formatted, designed, and it's buttressed with nothing but strength and power. And so for you to have a be attitude, it means that you are calling into existence with every fiber of your being, you're calling every element in this electrical universe that we're in. You are causing the atoms and molecules that are surrounding you to realign themselves in order to produce that which you have already saw, formatted, and thought about in your mind and are calling into existence. So you're forcing yourself to have an attitude that is congruent with your mindset. And this is one of the things that we have to learn to do, especially during a disaster, because it's so easy for us to be emotionally taken off course and then to respond to what is going on in the way that people expect us to respond, or in the way that we are driven to respond because of what is going on. But the harder thing is to not respond the way you are led to respond, but respond the way that you would like to have responded, or respond the way that you know you should respond versus just responding the way that you're encouraged to respond because of emotion. So again, that was the Beatitude from Matthew 5 and 7. And now the next one is from the Holy Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 32. And it reads, it goes down, and I'm taking a portion of it. It says, and whoever saves a life, it is as though he had saved the lives of all men. And certainly our messengers came to them with clear arguments, but even after that, many of them commit excesses in the land. So again, it's letting us know that if we do something and we save one life, we get credit on our scoreboard as though we have saved everybody's life, which again goes back to, as we were talking a couple of weeks ago, what is so important about that one that the Messiah forsook the 99 that he had with them to go back and get that one. Now, you know, if that was you and I, most of us, you know, if we got 99 and we lost one, it would be like, oh, well, all right, I lost that one. I still got 99. But that's not what he did. He went back to find that one. So, again, it makes you wonder, it makes me wonder, that is so inspiring, so important, so delicate about the one that all resources would be poured out just to make sure that that one was maintained. What is buried so deeply in each of us that is so valuable that we derive, we get, or we command that type of response from those who know. So, again, I just wanted to open up with those two passages just to let people know what the criterion is for what we say, why we say what we say, and why we think the way that we think. Sister Lachelle, would you like to come in? Would you like to camelback on that?
Yes, sir, I absolutely would. I just wanted to read a little bit. And if, you know, you all may not be familiar with the book that's read from by the Muslims, it's called the Holy Quran. And I wanted to just read a little bit, and you can tell me if this sounds like something that you can see. This is Surah 84, the rending of thunder. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It says, Ayat 1, when the sky is rent asunder, two, and hearken to the command of its Lord, and it must repeat to do so. 3, when the earth is flattened out. 4, and cast forth what is within it and becomes clean, empty, and hearkens to the command of its Lord, and it must need to do so. Then will come home the full reality of thou man, thou art ever toiling towards thy Lord, painfully toiling, but thou shalt meet him. Those are the first 7 ayahs of Surah 84, the rending of thunder. Now, if you look at the picture that we posted today on the Facebook page, Care Unit Detroit 911, it showed some activity of a volcano. Is that what it was, Brother Rudolph?
Yes, ma'am.
It showed this activity from this volcano, and it showed the hot lava, and it showed, you know, the extreme heat. 911. Hey, you'll see this very active.
Sister Michelle?
Yes.
Sister, I'm sorry, sis. We're getting some background noise or some echo from your phone.
I can hear it as you're talking, too.
Okay, this is, let's do this.
Is anyone on speakerphone now?
Not me.
No, ma'am.
Okay,
no, ma'am.
Okay, you sound good, you're good.
So
that
as you look at these volcanoes.
That was my attitude.
As you look at these volcanoes, if you study volcanoes at all, they can lay dormant for years. Then all of a sudden, you know, by no scientific knowledge base, they become active on their own. They just spark into action. And what could you do but call on the Lord? What could you do but pray if that activity came and now this hot lava is coming? Scripture, I don't live by a volcano. Do you live by water? So, well, no, I don't live by any water. Well, are they earthquakes where you are? No, none of that. Where's the wind? Because when the man of God says that he can call on the wind can pop up anywhere. And you can't, where could you go? You can't run from the wind. You may not even be able to see it coming. But it can whip you up. It can lift up cars. It can bring houses to flatten to the earth. And all you can do is pray. And there are those times where I remember as a child, because we would have tornado warnings and tornado watches and tornado sightings sometimes in Detroit. Well, we would be in the basement with my mother, and we would just be in the basement camped out for the night, not knowing, you know, if we'd be able to come upstairs, and if we did, what we would see. And sometimes there would be trees that would be totally, you know, ripped up out of the ground like a horror movie. And what will you do if that was the case, you know, where would you go if you didn't have a basement? See, all of these things, you know, but if you have that be, have to see, you know, in the beginning when there was nothing but the word, God said be. So there's something about that word be, that motion that the word be calls, that brings that God up in you to get you in motion. So I want you to be ready to move when it's time for you to move. And when you have to move, be ready for your family to move and be prepared for that motion. So that's all I wanted to add, Brother Rudolph, that, you know, you just can't control the wind. There are some things that you can't control, water. You know, you can sandbag all you want to, but that water can move those sandbags if it chooses to. That wind can knock that building down, you know, if it chooses to. But all you can do is strive hard to be in the favor of your Lord and be prepared.
Let the church say amen. As Sister Lachelle said, if you look, if you go to the Facebook page, and she has done such a great job in posting some very eye-inspiring photographs on there. And each of them, I mean, if you go to it, you can press it and you can see the actual video. That's lava lake activity that she was speaking of. And then under that one is when cars started sinking into the street. People gathered to watch. But the last 15 seconds, wow. And yes, you really need to watch that one to watch and see what happened. So these are just some of the things that we post on the website for you to see, so you can realize what is actually going on around you, even when you are not being plagued with plagues or besieged with danger. Things are still happening all over the world. And it's just a matter of time before it strikes home and comes directly to your door. Listen at this. There are many of our people, especially among yesterday's leadership, who desire to lead the shackled slaves into more secure shackles for the sake of the master and for the fear of the master's dislike of the leadership. That's just a paragraph from chapter 24, Confusion of the People, from the book The Fall of America. Just letting us all know something is going on in the world, not just America right now. Something is going on in the world. What is it that is going on in the world that is causing all of these things to happen now? The days are becoming so that you can't tell what season you're in. I know when I was growing up, it was clearly distinctive what season you were in. You knew when you were in the fall. You knew when you were in the winter. You knew when you were in spring. You knew when it was summer. Well, remember, just last week, there was snow. Okay? So it's not too hard to conceive that there may be snow coming up in a few more days. There is no clear delineation of climate change during the seasons now. So much stuff is happening that things are happening where once before we thought they could never happen. Tornadoes are happening all over the United States. When I was growing up, we were taught in school that you couldn't have a tornado in a big city like New York. Why? Because New York sat on the coast, and it was so many big buildings that it would disrupt the wind patterns and it would never be able to be effective here. We would only have hurricanes. Well, that was proven false because we've had quite a few tornadoes in New York City, as well as Chicago, as well as other major cities. So that lets you know those who have the intellect and think they have the knowledge and the understanding of climate and weather, they don't have the understanding. They may have a understanding or an understanding, but they don't have the absolute understanding of who makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquake. So, the topic for tonight's show is disasters in your life. How did you handle them, or did they handle you? And if you're still alive after it to talk about it, what did you learn from the experience? What could you do differently the next time when it happens? So we're asking people to call in to, as Sister Lachelle said, to kind of testify about your experience with different disasters, because, again, your experience may be able to help another listener that's getting ready to go through a similar experience or is going through one now. So give us a call at area code 646-716-5971 and press the number 1 so that you can be brought live into the discussion and speak to the listening audience. Sister Lachelle, would you give them the website that they can go to if they're online and want to follow?
Now, that would be through the Blog Talk call sign. So I'm going to toss that one to Sister Aziza, because I know it's Walk with a Guy, but I don't know the entire call sign. Sister Aziza?
Yes, ma'am. It is called NBM, for Nation Building Movement, Walking with God. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com, Walking with God.
And then once they get there, they could pull up disaster preparedness?
Yes, ma'am. It'll be the live aired show.
Perfect. See, there you go. That's Nation Building Network, Walking with God, and the live airing show would be Disaster Preparedness. And you will be right here with us, and you could do that through the Internet. And that's how she gets to chat. People who want to chat with her can chat through that method. Or you can just press the number 1 and raise your hand, and then your call would be hot, and Sister would be able to pull your call up so you can make a comment or ask a question. As we were talking, I opened up and I was talking about working in the hospital. You know, I am a healthcare professional. I work in an administrative role, and I am a chaplain, and I've worked with direct patient care. And to walk into an ER and see somebody shot in the foot, and everybody think they're going to make it and they can die, and somebody shot in the head and they go home, only, you know, God holds in his control, you know, who lives and who returns to him. And so ultimately, you know, God is the master of all circumstances, but that does not mean that we do not prepare. I wish Brother William was on right now so he could read that, hadith, so he could share that hadith that he shared. I do believe it was the Qudsi hadith, Brother Rudolph. The one there talks about that when the man asked the prophet in the day of judgment, you know, if he was planting a tree, what should he do? Do you remember it, Brother Rudolph?
Yes, yes.
Can you recite that one?
Well, I won't say that I'll do it word for word, but I'll give you the gist of it. A man approached the holy prophet and asked him, holy prophet, on the day of judgment, what should we do? Or what, you know, when the day of judgment comes, what should we be doing? And the holy prophet told him, if you are planting a tree, plant the tree. Meaning, you should be found working right up through the day of judgment, because no man knows when the day of judgment is coming. So it would be expedient for you to keep on working until the day of judgment, because the judgment may come and your work may save you. Whereas then if you don't do any work, then of course it can't save you, and nor will you be prepared for whatever is to transpire. So we must be found working right up until the day of judgment.
Absolutely.
Now,
right. We think we're supposed to be just sitting somewhere, you know, praying, and, you know, with praying is always good. Working, work, you know. And it says in Holy Quran, Surah 3, I can't remember the ayah, maybe somebody else can help me, that Allah says that He will reward the work of every workman, male or female, equally. You know, to bless us for the works of good that we do. So why not be found working right up until the last? You know, we don't want to be ungrateful. And if God gives us our health and our strength, surely we would seem ungrateful. We would for the benefit of ourselves, our family, and our people.
Yes, ma'am. That is 1,000% correct.
Well, I thank you, Brother Rudolph. So did you have an instance that you would like to take us into as we're waiting for the technical difficulty to get resolved and waiting for our callers to call in? Was there, I mean, you've seen so many things, you know, in your line of work as a first responder. You've been in so many disaster calls, different things that you've just personally experienced. Is there an account that you would like to bring to the stand to share with us, Brother Rudolph?
Not particularly. I really wanted to give someone else a chance to give account of theirs. If there's anyone either in the chat room that has a question or a statement or a comment, or if there's anyone online that is prepared or ready to speak, let's check that first.
Okay, they're not up yet, Brother Rudolph.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. Not a problem. Okay. Then before we go into that, let's speak on another matter of current events. And this matter of current events is a very, very emotional one for most. I know when I heard it, it kind of made me sit back and sink into my seat, and then I had to thank Allah much for my 14-year-old daughter that is here with me. And what I'm talking about is the situation of the, I think it's 200 girls that were kidnapped at gunpoint out of that school. I think it was in Nigeria, and the person that is claiming to have them is threatening to sell them, and I was just thinking how a parent must feel, the parent of one of those girls that's involved with that, to know that, first of all, they are separated by geography and time, so they couldn't be there even if they wanted to. But if they did get there, that they still were helpless in the sense that know where the girls are, and even if they did, how could they go and rescue them? So, you know, think of the emotional roller coaster that those parents must be on. Now try and interject yourself into that situation and think about how you would feel, how would you respond? So I just wanted to throw that out there to the listening audience, again, to let you know that even though things are quite calm for you where you are, elsewhere on the planet, disasters are happening every minute of every day. And the everything for us is a lesson that we should and must derive an answer, a solution, or an antidote from for the future. Sister Michelle, would you like to comment on that?
Well, unlike you, Brother Rudolph, I don't have any daughters, but I definitely was shocked when I heard the news of it was being kidnapped.
You know, again, for those of you in the listening audience that, again, that especially fathers that have daughters, not that any parent dislikes one sex of their children and likes another sex more, but we know the value of the female. And for a father, that must be triply emotional, knowing that that is his daughter in that precarious situation. Not saying that he wouldn't still feel the same way about his son, but again, think about the value of the female for those who know it. And that's another show that we are going to do on this network in the near future to address our young girls and what they're going through, especially with summertime coming up now. So, now, as you had asked, Sister Lachelle, so yeah, I guess I will tell of one instance. I guess when I was in the Navy, I was being transferred from one ship to another ship. But now the issue was, we were underway, or we were at sea. Now, when things happen at sea, when you're in the Navy, it's not like you could just pull up to the curb and just stop and say, you know, let me off this boat, you just pull up to the curb and just stop. No, you're in the middle of the ocean in a boat, and the waves are ripping and roaring, and the rain is coming and the wind is blowing, but you still have to operate and do whatever it is your mission is. Well, I was being transferred from one ship to another ship. That didn't stop just because it was bad weather. They had this thing that they called a high line, where they strap you into this iron chair, this metal chair, and it's on a cable, pull you across from one ship to the other. Now, you're in this metal cage. There's nothing, there's no glass or plexiglass or nothing like that. It's just a cage with a seat, with a harness, and you're strapped in. And you know if that line breaks, you're going straight down because there's nobody there to open the cage to take you out of the harness and get you out of that cage before that cage sinks to the bottom of the ocean. Also, the fact that you're in that cage, and if the line snaps and you fall in between those two ships, chances are, even if you get out of the cage, you're going to die because you're going to get sucked into what's called the screws or the propellers that are under the boat in the water that move the boat. Because as they turn, they create a suction or a vacuum in the water that sucks things right into them. And it's almost too powerful to swim out of, depending on the proximity that you fall close to it. So you know all of this at the time when you're sitting in that cage. And again, the gentlemen are on one side pulling the lines, pulling you one way, and they're on the other side holding the line to try and hold you steady, but you're dangling in the middle of the abyss. I ended up making it cross, all praises due to Allah, but as they were sending the high line back the second time with my sea bag, all of my luggage, clothing, and everything, all of my possessions, the line snapped and the cage dropped, and my sea bag and all of my stuff went with it. So here I have nothing, absolutely nothing, but I did have my life. But all I could think about was, what if I had been in that chair when it snapped? So it brings about a whole different tide of emotions before, during, and after the incident. Because you figure the incident is over, okay, it's not a big issue, it's just your clothing and stuff. No, because now you're thinking, what if all of the emotions that go along with that, well, that could have been me. And this and that, and, you know, and the psychological trauma is just as bad, if not worse, as physical trauma, because the psychological trauma is dealing with your psyche or your brain, your mind, your ability to think. And if that's frozen, then your physical is frozen. So, you know, that's just one incident that comes to mind. I mean, there are others, as you said, working in this field. I have stories for the that are not for the dinner table, and not for the and not for the faint of heart. You know, but be that as it may, they are what they are. But again, I thank Allah much because he gives me the type of job, the type of career, the type of work that I do that does not allow me to be down on myself. It does not allow me to have self-pity. It does not allow me to wallow in, you know, self-pity or any of those type feelings. Because whenever I start getting like that, he sends me on a call, and I see that my condition could be drastically worse than it is. And it makes me appreciative of what I have. No matter what the condition, no matter what's going on, I immediately get appreciative for what I have. So, again, I thank Allah much for the type of work that I do because it's always a good reality check or, as they say, a checkup from the neck up, 24/7.
Wow. Well, I definitely thank Allah as well that you was on line one instead of line two.
yes, ma'am.
We wouldn't be on this line right now.
No, we certainly would not.
Okay. I mean, it's like that movie, Final Destination. If you just see how things could have went a different way, and it makes you say, you know, all praises due to Allah, you know, or there but for the grace of God, it could easily have gone a different way. And you could have been able to told your family it was a training mission, and he was hurt or he was killed during the training mission. They never would have told them, you know, what really happened.
because of liability issues. But they always know how to dress it up, you know, so that they can lie to us and not have to take accountability for putting your life in danger.
That's correct.
And I had a nephew that just recently went to the military because his family, you know, people to pay his tuition. So he went into the military, and I thought, wow, I would have rather, you know, him set out a semester than to go to the military. And now we don't have any idea. His mother's only talked to him once in 6 months and got one postcard. So, I mean, you just don't know, you know, what's going on with our young people when they have them, because now you've signed your life over to the military, and whatever happens to you, it's like they own you. And they do whatever they want. Anything can happen. You'll never know the whole story.
That's very true. That's very true. You know, I also remember, again, I came to the Nation of Islam Mother's Day 1991. I did not graduate out of processing class, however, until 1992 because I was not allowed to complete processing class and graduate because at the time I was still officially enlisted in the United States military. So I had to wait until my enlistment with the military was finished before I could join the Nation of Islam, because I was still property of the government of the United States.
Wow.
Well, I've definitely heard that from other believers who came in the same way. And even though I wasn't in the military, because of the job that I had, my registration was held up as well. Later I found out it shouldn't have been, but I'm glad that it was, because it made me get out of a very dangerous line of work. And I wouldn't have wanted to be doing that if I had babies or, you know, one of you was wondering if their mama going to come home at the end of her job. So I'm glad in the sense that, you know, the sister who was on my orientation class, that she insisted,
you know, that that I get out of law enforcement and that I be able to, you know, come home at the end of the night, you know, by Allah's permission. And they did the same thing, you know. Hey, you can't carry a gun. Even though it's in your line of work, we want you to change your line of work before you recite. So I thank Allah for the opportunity to go back to school and learn to do something else and still be able to uphold the law. Would be able to do it without a gun. I was telling a sister earlier today that last year we were at Muhammad Mosque, number one, during the Eid feast, which is the end of Ramadan, which is a holy time for Muslims, for anyone who doesn't know what Eid is. So we're having a celebration, and my children, this my three sons, my nephew by blood, and my nephew by faith, we're walking with my sons to the store. As they leave the mosque, and they got maybe 50 steps, not feet, you know, just half steps, children's steps from the mosque door. I'm coming out of the mosque, and the police pull up, jump out the car, and pull a stop and frisk. Of course, I panic because those are my children, and I do not want the police frisking my children or manhandling them or harming them in any lots of money towards them from the mosque door, full uniform, purse still on my shoulder, and just start running down the street to intervene. And so the brothers, you know, start yelling for my name because they didn't want me to run up on the police and put my life in danger. But I was not thinking about the police or their weapons at all. I was thinking they have my babies. I'm about to go unhand them from my babies because they're frisking my two oldest, and the other three boys were waiting their turn. Because they stopped when the police pulled up on them. They stopped. They immediately put their hands up. They didn't offer any resistance. They knew they hadn't done anything wrong. And the brothers walked over, you know, after they got me to stop. they told me to stop, you know, and I was like halfway to them, and the brothers were across the street. They came across the street, and the brother who is the head of the prison reform ministry for the state of Michigan, I mean, the brother, he literally stepped between the police and the children, you know, and just told them, no, sir, just stopped. I mean, they were mid-prison. He put his arms between them. No, sir, these are our children, and you're not going to do that. And the police officer looked at him and just stopped. And he, you know, he apologized, and they got in their car. And the police officers went away, and I thank Allah for that brother being fearless and intervening, because he knew, you know, I was going to do it. But he wanted to protect me from myself, from me running into a situation that could have caused the children more harm and myself, but he walked into it and stopped them from frisking my sons, and who, of course, didn't have anything. But in that moment, had it gone differently, how many of us have heard so many times on the news where just a routine traffic stop, and the driver ended up dead? You know, how many black men have we heard of being just killed on some quote-unquote routine stuff that just go left turn? So as black people, our lives are in a danger zone on a daily basis, even when we're not doing anything wrong, just because we walk upright and we're black people. Sometimes that poses a threat in and of itself to see five black men walk down the street who know exactly who they are and whose they are, to, for some reason, make the police think they must have some, because how could they walk with their backs that straight? How could they walk with their heads that high? How could they walk unafraid in these streets in Detroit unless they pack it? And they wasn't packing anything but knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of who true God is and who they are, but it posed a threat to the police officers. So we just never know, you know, when our lives could be in danger. That could have went real different. You know, they could have easily hurt one of the brothers or hurt one of the believers. We were right outside the mosque. So you just never know when a disaster, when a dangerous situation can come and turn into a disaster. You always have to be willing to take instruction from someone else who may have a better way of handling it than you, just because you think you got the best way. You may not. So, you know, brother minister in Detroit used to always say, the only animal that doesn't pause when they don't know what to do is human beings. We run headlong into things. You know, every other animal will pause. A deer running in the middle of the street, he'll stop and pause and look. So we have to learn to be able to take that pause and just reassess real quickly and make a determination of what's the best method to move out. So I'm definitely grateful that your line did snap. But you just, what if you had paused? What if you didn't get on that first carryover and had waited for the second one? You just don't know. So sometimes you just have to move out on faith and, you know, pray that you make it and you're going to replace the stuff in the bag. But we can't replace, you know, human cargo. We can replace everything else but our lives. So, you know, sometimes you just have to look, you know, make a determination, say a prayer, and make the move that is the best move at the time. And sometimes we don't even know we made the best move till later when we look back and see if we survived. You know, I think in that quote in the movie The Matrix, when they went to the Frenchman to try to get the key, and he wouldn't give it to him. They got back on the elevator, and Trinity says, oh, well, that worked out good. And so then, you know, Neo is like, you know, no, it didn't. And they're kind of going back and forth. And Morpheus said, yes, it did. It happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. And they said, how do you know? He said, because we're still alive. So if you stand up alive at the end of it, then you handled it the right way. The most important thing is that we survive. And that's why when there's a disaster, they look for survivors. You know, so it's just important that you survive so that you can live to tell the story and do it better the next time. Brother Rudolph.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for that testimony.
Okay. Brother Rudolph and Sister LaShare, we have audio back and we have our phones back, and you have questions in chat room and on the phones.
Okay, let's hold off on the song. And let's go to some questions.
Chat room
live
first.
Live callers or questions. It doesn't matter, whichever you want to do.
Okay, sister. The ball is in your court.
We're going to go to the phones because we got somebody from New York calling.
Of course.
And I know all my people on the West Coast are not going to be misrepresented tonight. So we do got a call, I think, from San Francisco, but we want to hear from L.A., you know, we want to hear from Oakland because y'all on the phone, Atlanta, Houston, Albuquerque. We want to hear from y'all. So here we go. We're going to start with New York, area code 347. Last four numbers, 5234. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Assalamu alaikum, my sister.
How are you, Sister Lachelle?
I would know your voice anyway.
Oh,
I don't know what's mine.
Everything
I'm sorry,
all right. Everything good here in New York. I'm going to 7 and 7C, and the believers are just taking care of me just the same way you did in mosque number one. Everybody showing me love.
It's you, sister. Your spirit is so beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Sister Michelle.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Sister Clarion from Jamaica.
Oh, okay. All right.
How are you, brother?
Oh, praise is due to Allah. I'm doing well. How are you, Queen?
I am good. I was listening to the discussion about planting the tree, you know. The thing is, sometimes you do what you have to do, and guess what? That will keep you in a place where the disaster does not reach you. So that is why it's good, if you're doing something, to continue doing it.
That's
because,
right.
Yeah, sometimes it keeps you in that place where it protects you from the disaster. And somebody comes and says, do you know what just happened down the road? And you're like, what? You know, and, hey, I was doing my thing. I was planting my tree. I was doing what I was supposed to do. So,
right.
But I could not pass up this opportunity because today is Sister Captain, Sister Missy's birthday.
Yes, it is.
So,
you sent her some love.
I have to give a shout-out to my captain.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Happy birthday, Sister Missy. And just let her know in case she didn't hear. I just spoke with Sister Maria, actually, and I told her, you know, let Sister Captain know. I send my best wishes. So.
Praise is to Allah. We're definitely looking forward to being there with you in Jamaica in October. So, you know, God bless you. While you're hanging out here with us, we'll get to come and be in your stomping ground very soon.
Yes, ma'am. I'm looking forward to October. It's gonna
Me
be
too.
Big.
I'm going to be there. But if it's Allah's will, I will definitely do my part to be prepared to be able to roll out to be in Jamaica.
And as
we could plan some food while we're there, Sister Clarion.
What's that, Brother Rudolph?
We can plant some food while we're there.
You can sure do some work. You know, definitely come prepared to do some work. I know Sister Lachelle wants to go to the beach, and we will definitely go to the beach. But you're going to have to do some work. Okay?
We got beaches over here. I would rather come there and plant some food. That would definitely last longer than the little splash in some water. I would definitely do something that would be beneficial.
Yes,
I guess she's going to be planting cactuses or cacti on the beach.
I should have told my drowning story, and then we wouldn't be talking about this beach, but definitely I would love to come there and do some work, sis.
Yes, ma'am, and I definitely enjoyed seeing the believers, the sisters out in the community in Detroit. It's so good to know that the MGT is going out. And they're doing it now in New York as well. So definitely when I get back to Jamaica, you know, we're going to be doing some things in the streets to help our people as well. So it's really good to know that the women are now going out because we have to have that balance and we need that female energy to give that unconditional love to our people because our people
That's
just
right.
need love. Our people need that motherly touch. That, you know, we the women have to just go out there and be among our people at this time.
I agree 1,000%. And we definitely enjoy getting out, literally out in the community. We started off doing a presentation in the high school, and then we literally went out. The children had organized a children's march to go through and reclaim their neighborhood, and we literally went out and walked in the street with the children a four-block radius of the school and did that march in the street and, of course, under the watchful eye of the mighty, mighty FOI.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to allow somebody else to get in on the conversation. So,
well, again, sister, I thank you personally from the 347 for showing your support over here on the East Coast. You're exemplifying why everyone is looking toward the east, and we thank you.
Yes, sir. No problem. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
You see how my God works? He gave me somebody out of the 313 in your New York area code. I will not be shaved. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, praise be to Allah.
My God is real.
Why are you going to bring that back up again? What are you doing?
We can keep peace in the family. Yes.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So Queen, we have another one.
619, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
I am Shannon Nikki Keys. I am the South Region president of a very large African-American charity. And I just got that position. And question today. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We do.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. I'm 29 years old, and I just got this position, and I'm in charge of 42 chapters. And the question that hit me out of nowhere today was, it came from a young man. He's 22 years old. And his question was, what does he do? How does he deal with being, I'm trying to word it correctly for him and not get it incorrect. How does he, being a young Muslim man, deal with working in society, in corporate society, and still coming home, and how does he balance that? And because he pays attention, he's a journalist, and so he knows things that are going on, and he knows not to bring it home and leave it at the doorstep. And he was asking me today, and I didn't know how to answer, and so I was listening to the show, and I figured that I would just ask for him and try to respond back to, like, how does he balance his work life, his religion, and his home? How does he do that in challenging times, knowing what's going on in the world today and knowing the news and the truth? How does a young man with a family do that?
That's a very good question, and there is an answer, and the answer, when spoken, is simple. In actuality, it's not that simple. However, it's not impossible.
Yes, sir.
He has to remember always, one, the God that he serves.
Yes, sir.
And in remembering who he is and his relationship to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, then he understands that he is not powerless in that arena that he's in. He has power.
Yes, sir.
But he also, as Scripture says, has to be wise as a serpent, but humble as a dove. Meaning,
yes, sir,
he works in that environment. So he's going to give them 8 hours of work, and he's going to derive 8 hours of compensation for the work that he's doing. And then he's going to get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
And when he leaves there, the way he's going to balance it out is now he's going to put in the same amount of work outside of the job in his community with his people where his family is, to help secure his family, but also to balance himself out so that he does not become imbalanced by being in that world, thinking that that world is a real world when it is really the false world, and the real world is the one that he is trying to help implement at this day and time. So he has to study to make sure that his foundation is secure. Again, he has to know for a surety the God that he serves and his risen Christ and their apostle.
Yes,
and
sir.
Then he has to know what his mission is as a soldier that he is to establish a beachhead behind enemy lines for the sole purpose of advancing the world that he is a soldier for.
Yes, sir.
So, and that's why I said, stated, it sounds easy, but in actuality and practicality, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it is also not impossible. In his FOI training and in his FOI classes is where he will derive and develop and master the skills that will be necessary for him to implement while he is behind enemy lines.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry. It's just, what area are you in?
Sir, I am in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, where is Florida?
Yes, sir. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I've been calling in, and I've been taking speech classes, and I wasn't expecting this position, and I was not expecting that question at the meeting, and I didn't know how to answer him. And I just listened to everything everyone was saying, and I was processing everything, and I didn't know what else to do, so I asked. Instead of just sitting here, I just asked for help.
Oh, no, thank you, sis. We are very glad that you did get through and that you asked that question, especially on behalf of the young brother, and we would pray that you would continue to be a part of the listening family and get as much information as we can put out there, and that which you understand, feel free to share it with those constituents of yours, because that's what this is all about. And
yes,
anytime
sir.
That we can help or assist you in anything that's going on, feel free to reach out to us. Sister Michelle, can you give her the contact information, how she can reach all of us?
Absolutely. Yes. You can email us at Care Unit Detroit 911, that's all one word together, at live.com, Care Unit Detroit 911 at live.com. And if you have access to the Facebook page that this show was promoted on, it is posted on the page. Also, you can reach out to us through the website, www.careunitdetroit.weebly, that's weebly.com. You can reach us through that website. It has a page where it says if you want Brother Rudolph to come to your city, you can use that page also to send us a message. Even if you don't want him to come to your city, you can send messages through the website, through that page, and it comes directly to the Care Unit Detroit website. So we'll come to our email, we'll get that message, and if you put on it as for Brother Rudolph, I will make sure that he reads his email. So for all of you that say, I email Brother Rudolph and he don't email me back, email through the business website, and I'll make sure that Brother Rudolph gets your email and responds to you within 24 hours.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sister. Queen, we have another one?
Yes, we have one out of the chat room from Sister Karen. And let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are listening by phone, the phones are working again. So if you have a question or a comment or a story you want to share with us, go ahead and press one on your dial pad. We have a question from Sister Karen who says that death is also a natural disaster. She said, I lost my husband 3 months ago. We have two boys and three girls. She said, the disaster I see unfolding before me is a detachment of family. The death of my husband has driven a wedge or either created one between my children and I. I cannot console them, and I don't know how.
Well, let me first say to that sister that you have our condolences from your family here. And we want to make sure that you have our information. So, again, you can contact us with specifics that you may be in need of, that we may be able to help direct you on where you can get the help that you are going to need to get through this disaster. I personally can say that I understand what you're talking about and what you may be going through at this time. I, too, have experienced what you are going through. And it is a trying time and a trying experience. What I will say to you is to remember that Allah God is in control of everything. He either allows things to happen or he sets things in motion to happen. Our job is to try and understand or try and see the hand of God in everything that goes on in our life. Even the worst tragedy, what we think is the worst tragedy, Allah may be using that for a different purpose. And even though we can't see it at the time, this is why Scripture tells us to seek assistance through patience and prayer. And this is hard except for the humble ones. So we who are going through trials at that time must learn to nurse our Quran more during the trial of a disaster than we would on a regular basis, because in that Quran is a comfort, a healing, and an answer to our questions. The question for us is, will we be patient with ourselves, patient with the process, and patient with Allah in order to get those answers? Sister Lachelle?
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph. Yes, dear sister, I definitely offer you my condolences, and I offer that, you know, God ease your heart and those of your children, and that he bring you comfort, because God is absolutely the only one that can. As a child, I did lose my father, and it was very difficult to lose my dad. At a young age, I was 10 years old. I had a brother that was older than me and a brother that was younger than me. And then my mom lost her provider. She lost her best friend. She lost her spouse. And so she's trying to manage her own emotions while we're trying to manage ours. So it's definitely very difficult. My brother decided at that time that he should go into the military. Somehow he thought that that would help. And that was a decision he made. And so it did separate us physically while we were going through a very trying emotional time. So it was very difficult for our family. But I can definitely say that my mother was wise enough, and something that's very, very infrequent in the Black community is to go get therapy. My mother did take us to a grief counselor, and that did help. She was a very prayerful woman, but she did not leave us as children with only prayer to answer for us. So she put us in therapy group. She did put us with other children who had lost their parents. And she put us in a place where we could feel safe to express ourselves. Because sometimes children don't feel comfortable expressing themselves with their other parents, you know, depending on the situation. And my parents weren't together. You know, they weren't separated or divorced. We all grew up in the same household with our mom and dad in a happy, loving household. And it definitely changed the total dynamics of our lives.
I mean, I honestly feel even to this day that I probably wouldn't have married the person I married, that a lot of things would have been different had I still had my dad in my life. So definitely, you know, almost inconsolable when a child loses a parent. So the consolation has to come from God, because he's the only one that can soothe you from the inside out. But I would suggest, you know, great counseling, and I definitely would suggest auditing, if you know what that is, or counseling of some sort, and to put your child somewhere and put the family, even yourself, somewhere where you can feel safe to express yourself. And that you know that what's said will be kept. And if you do put your children in any kind of counseling, therapy, anything, don't go behind them and ask them what was said when they go to the counseling session. Don't go behind them and invalidate their data. Don't go behind them and say, well, what did they tell you? What did they say about me? Don't make it about you. Allow them to have their time to grieve their loss. And let them have that private time in the counseling, in the therapy group, in the auditing session, without you coming behind them, you know, being concerned that something was said about you and trying to protect yourself. You know, allow each person has to grieve separately, and that might be why some of the distance is now. But once everyone gets to the grieving process, you know, God willing, everybody will come back together. But you have to give that time, because each person lost a different person. You said, well, all five of my children lost their father, but he was a different man to each one of them. You know, who my daddy was to me was not who my daddy was to my brothers. You know, he loved all of us, but that was my daddy. And each one of them, that was their daddy, but they had a different relationship. So you have to give people a chance to grieve and grieve in their own way, and don't judge how they grieve. But I would say offer some guidance, especially for the younger children. Put them somewhere where they can speak to someone confidentially without anyone coming behind saying, what did you say? What does that mean? What do you think? You know, I'm here for you. Sometimes they just need someone where they can go and scream at the top of their lungs, and it doesn't mean anything except they just wanted to scream. So that would be my suggestion, counseling, therapy, minister, auditing, something where that person can go and confidentially scream at the top of their lungs if they want to. So thank you for bringing that question.
Queen.
Yes, ma'am.
We have another one.
I'm here. Yeah, but I think y'all just started something, so let me just ask Brother Rudolph, did you want to take a musical break now and come back?
Yes, you know, I think, I think we should throw one of them in there.
Okay.
Okay, any callers or anybody in the chat room, just hold on while we take this little break. Don't leave us. Just hold on with us and roll through the musical interlude with us. Don't leave us.
It doesn't matter which one. Sister Queen, I thank you so much for that timely selection. I think the words in that song may be of some comfort to someone on the line in what they're going through.
Yes, sir. And we do have another call on the line from Austin, Texas, Brother Rudolph. So let's see what's going on in Texas State Capitol. Austin, Texas, your mic is now live. Last four numbers, 37. Where is it? Okay, they hung up. Okay. Yes, sir. And
okay.
That is a wonderful song by Brother Donny Hathaway, and brings back many memories. Wow. Well, Brother Rudolph, we have a question from Errol. I pray that's the right pronunciation. Errol says that he's going through a separation from his child due to a divorce and financial loss, that the mother has moved to another state in order to take another job, and he's struggling with that. And I guess he wants for advice.
Okay. I know that we just had one musical selection. Let's go to the other one for this one, and then I'll comment afterwards.
Yes, sir. Okay. Here we go.
Everything was changed.
Oh.
Do you have that one?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. That wasn't the one I had lined up, but I do.
We'll say Sam Cooke for the end tonight.
Okay.
To close us out.
Let me see. I have to unboot it.
Okay,
here we
no
go.
Problem. Okay.
We got it.
Okay.
Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one stays the same. The young become the old. Unfold, oh yeah, for that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure. And hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. A wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. The young become the old.
selection. I had it played. Again, the words are very important and very timely in that, in knowing that we get comfortable in situations and we think that these situations we're in at any given time are going to last forever. And we have to always be mindful that nothing lasts forever. Everything must change, and change is inevitable in everything. How we handle the change is where the issue comes in. And the separation of a parent from a child or a child from a parent, for whatever reason, is always an emotional time and an emotional situation. But again, understand that God is the orchestrating everything. How do you rise above the emotion that you're feeling right now and rise up into the thinking of God? That's one question. Because if you could achieve that, then that right there would checkmate the emotional turmoil that you're going through right now because of the separation of that child. So the focus here is definitely on you and how you're handling the situation. So what I would say to you, again, as I said earlier, is to seek assistance through patience and prayer. I would say to you to do all that is humanly possible for you that you can do in this situation. And then when you reach the point where you've done all that you can do, things are still not the way that you expect them to be, then you have to understand that there are other forces at work here and that you are not in control of the situation. And you have to come to terms with the fact you are not in control with the situation. And you're going to have to acknowledge the fact that there's a force greater than you that it is in control, and you have to find out what that force, what plan that force has for this situation and for you. And again, that takes time and it takes patience. And that's where us as human beings, that's where our trial comes in at, being patient and waiting for the outcome. Sister Michelle or Queen, would you like to say anything on that?
Well, what I would say to Brother Arrow is that always hold fast to your faith, whatever your faith may be. And understand that this situation does not necessarily mean that it's permanent. It could be a temporary separation, and just hold on to the fact that you love this child, you have a relationship with this child, you can continue, I pray, to have a relationship with your child. I think that the separation anxiety will pass, but just hope, keep your head up. Just keep moving forward. Your life is not over. This is just a stumbling block or a hurdle that I'm so sure that with prayer and patience that you will get over and all things work together for the good. So I would just encourage him to hold on, Brother Rudolph.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Sister Lachelle?
Yes. Brother, I hear you, and I definitely understand, and I'm going to come from a totally different vein than Brother Rudolph and Sister Aziza. I have a different kind of nature than them. I love them. They're so prayerful. They're so sweet. They so wait on the change. Bless they are. Okay, now this is what I'm going to offer. I'm going to come a different way. They covered that, so I'm going to come this way. There is no legal system in this world that would deny a parent their visitation. There have been cases, one in court, where the parent who killed the other parent get visitation in prison. So it's just a matter of how much you want to see the child and how much fight you're willing to put into it, how much effort you're willing to put into it. You can get your visitation established, and the visitation has to be respected. If the other person moved in order to get a better job, that means they have more money. Praise be to God. But that means they also have more money to help with the visitation so that child can be flown, driven, to put on a train, transported to come visit you. And one pays for it to go one way, and one can pay for it to go the other way. And if one parent has a substantial greater income than the other parent, there are times when the court will have that parent pay for both ways, for you to send them and bring them back if it's a financial hardship, because most courts believe that it's a hardship on a child not to have both parents in their lives. So if you didn't try to block that parent from leaving to get that better job, to move with the baby, then maybe because you were so amicable in permitting them to leave, maybe they'll be more open to assist you with maintaining your visitation. But you still have rights as a parent. Now, unless your parental rights were severed from you, you can have a legal right to your visitation. So I would say that you tell that parent, you know, implore that parent to allow your visitation to assist you in regular visits with that child during breaks from school, holidays, and what have you. And God forbid that parent is unwilling to permit you to visit, but if they are, you know, you do have a recourse in the courts. You know, we hate to have to go to court, but there's nothing wrong with it if you have to. We do follow the laws of the land as long as they do not conflict with our religion, which means that we respect the court. And if you need to use that venue to assist you, to back you up, then do so. But that child's life will be forever altered if you do not stay in touch with your child, because the child could easily create in their mind that you don't care about them if you don't visit them. So don't put that child out your mind. Stay an ever-vigilant parent. And make sure that you go visit, that you work that thing out, humble yourself as much as you have to, you know, close to the earth, that position of sajda, when you're praying, your forehead is on the ground. If you have to maintain your visitation with your child, it's more important than your personal pride. That child needs you. They need you every day. And that's why I have so much respect for my biological brothers, because both of them in a particular divorce, for each of them, the parent, out of anger, out of pain, and I'm not going to knock my sister-in-law for the decisions that they made, but out of pain, tried to take the children away from my brothers, both of them at different times where they weren't able to see their children. And I respect my brothers because they fought hard to maintain that connection, fought hard to maintain that visitation. Their children were never long away from them long enough for another person to be able to poison their mind against them or to talk them out of their mind. So that child needs to know that my daddy loved me enough, that my daddy
daddy will get on a bus and be on a bus for 24 hours to come visit me for the weekend, and it'll take 24 hours to get back. My daddy loves me enough that he saves up his money to have me come. My daddy loves me enough that he bought me a little cell phone so he can call me directly. My daddy loves me enough that he writes me a letter every week, or, you know, that he keeps in touch with me on a weekly basis. You need to be in that child's face in their life, because no child can be the person that they're going to be without their father. You know, mother is not more important than father. Father is very important in the life of a child, and I can say that as a mother of sons who I wish their father was more present, that they had a father in their lives every day to just teach them manhood by watching him. So make sure that you do everything up to and including, if necessary, involving the courts, but maintain an active visitation schedule in the life of that child. I don't care if they're on the moon. Then work it out. You're a God, you get to the moon, you see a baby. So that's where I'm coming from. I believe in being prepared and getting in motion and going to see your child as often as possible, and call them every day that you can, and never let them think for a moment that daddy does not love them. So that's what I offer, along with the prayer and, you know, that God's will be done, as the other two said. But I say get in motion and make sure you make your visitation happen. Thank you.
All right, Queen, any other callers?
Yeah, we have Austin back on the phone, so we're going to try this again. Last four numbers from Austin, Texas, 3740. Your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Salam, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Jade, and I just wanted to first, you know, give my condolences to the sister who has shared with us her loss. I'm a hospice nurse, and I deal with death and dying as a profession. And I just wanted to reinforce what you have already given her as far as seeking faith, bereavement counseling. You know, I think at this time, it's difficult to understand how your role has abruptly changed. Everyone's role in the family, in that household, has changed. And it's not something that is an overnight transition. It takes time. You know, there's no manual on how to grieve. So I commend you on your good advice with having, you know, by telling her to seek patience, faith, you know, surround herself with people who can assist her at this time with this particular issue, because unfortunately you have outside influences that want to put their little tape on things, and that's not what she needs. She needs some emotional support to help get over this so that she can find her new role in life without her partner. And that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for interjecting. Yes, that's my kind of person right there, a hospice nurse. I love those type people because they deal with the worst case scenarios on a regular basis, which gets them in the mindset of, on a regular basis and on a daily basis, how to deal with problems, situations, and circumstances non-emotionally. And as some people say, we're just cold-hearted and stone-hearted and just don't have emotion. No, we have them. We just know how to put them in check in order to deal with the important factors or the actual factors of the situation at the times. And it's not something that is learned overnight. It's not even something that people want to learn. It's a safeguard that those of us that work in that type of environment must acquire in order to safeguard ourselves and longevity in that field. Okay. Sister Lachelle, would you like to give those announcements now before I think we have like about 7 or 8 minutes left?
Yes, sir, I could definitely do that. I just wanted to share with the family that Brother Rudolph, of course, is always doing training in cities. You know, he can come to your city, your organization, your group at any time. You know, he would love to do that. That he is going to be doing a wonderful, wonderful program in Paterson, New Jersey, coming up right away. And we would love for you, if you are in the New Jersey area, if you are near Paterson, New Jersey, to come and join us at that event. That is going to be May the 13th, and that's a Tuesday. So that's upcoming May 13th. That's a Tuesday. That's in Paterson, New Jersey, at the Paterson Museum on 2 Market Street. And once again, in Paterson, New Jersey, it's going to be a disaster preparedness training. It's from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and that's going to be on a Tuesday, and that's in Paterson, New Jersey. There will be some light refreshments. Brother Rudolph will be doing training, and the Office of Emergency Management Deputy Coordinator will also be there. So you definitely have some heavy hitters at this event. I want to make sure that as many of us as possible can get to this event, and that's in Paterson, New Jersey, and that's on Tuesday. And you can inbox me at my regular Facebook page, at Lachelle Muhammad, or you can inbox me at Care Unit Detroit 911 and for more information regarding this event in Paterson, New Jersey, on Tuesday. Brother Rudolph?
Thank you. Is there another one coming up also?
There is another one that's coming up, but that one is in June. So we're going to hold that one. And the other one is a private invite only, and that is May 17th.
Got it. Not a problem. Thank you so much for that. Well, Sister Lachelle, since you're there, why don't you give your closing remarks? I'll give mine, and then we can end with, we'll have time for 2 musical selections.
Brother Rudolph is a closet DJ, in case you haven't caught on to that by now.
Is he going to freestyle one for us? Is that what he's going to do?
Pretty much. It's looking like it's coming to that. And my closing remarks, this was such a I could definitely do a freestyle myself. As we close out today, this definitely was a heavy show, and it definitely went in the directions that only Allah can determine the direction of a thing, because he is the master of all circumstances. So I'm grateful for everyone that called in, that inboxed a question, that hit the chat room. And we thank you for all of your questions and that your willingness to allow us into your personal affairs to give a word of consolement, a word of direction, a word of information. So I'm humbled every time I come on the show and someone sends a question to us that they would trust us or would include us in their decision-making process. I just want to make sure that I remind all of us that the master of all circumstances is the first and last place. We should take every decision that's on our heart, take it to God, take it to Allah, you know, take it to your higher power, because, you know, Allah, God, can make a change in ways that Sister Lachelle, Brother Rudolph cannot. So take it to him first, and after you get all your information, take it back to him and say, now with all this information I've gathered, what do you want me to do? And be willing to be patient and wait his response to give you your direction. So I ask you to join us back here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and give us the opportunity to share with you some personal preparedness for disaster awareness information to help you. You can always inbox us or email us for further information, and we love you, and that's why we do what we do. Brother Rudolph.
Thank you, Sister Lachelle. Again, so we thank you for tuning in for another session of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. We thank Sister Queen Aziza for making Queendom accommodate all of us in her home, you the listeners and us the hosts, because we are in the Queendom, and we thank her for being a hospitable hostess. and for, you know, the hostess with the mostest. Yes. In giving us the space, the time, and the technical equipment to be able to do what we do. And so I also thank my
Thank you, Brother Rudolph, for that.
You are definitely welcome. And I also thank my wonderful
I don't want to correct you, but, you know, I have to let you know, since you probably don't know, that every show that we record is archived for the Nation of Islam Historic Library. So these airways, even though you call them the kingdom, and that's very flattering, this is my charitable gift to the Nation of Islam. So it's all of ours. So yours, mine, Sister Lachelle, everybody. It's the nation's radio station.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
And my wonderful, capable co-host, Sister Lachelle Muhammad, from Mosque number one, where the God came first. Yes, I thank you for all of your help and assistance every week and every day, helping me prepare for this show and then helping me through this show. And to all the wonderful listeners out there in the 313 and the other various numbers that you call, they're fictitious to me because I haven't heard them yet, but it's okay. We still love them anyway. And with that, we're going to say not good night or goodbye, but we're going to close as we open with the greeting words of peace and the paradise of assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless you to have a safe, a healthy, and a prosperous week until we speak to you again. Now, and Queen, maybe we can close out with a few bars of Sam Cooke.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for
Assalamu alaikum, family. One nation, one love.
Wa alaikum.